Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning to worship you, to thank you once again for all the rich blessings you've showered down upon us. Many of them, Lord, most of them, we do not recognize from our day-to-day lives. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us appreciate the gifts you give us each and every day, along with that greatest gift of faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The title of this sermon is Leftovers. Leftovers. Now, I suspect that some of you wonder if this is just a recycled sermon. I mean, he is a retired pastor. You know, he's got lots of things going on in his life. Or whether it's a new sermon. And the Lutheran answer is yes, yes. The majority of this sermon is one I preached in 2005 on July 31st. Obviously, it would be close to this date. So 21 years ago. Wow, 2005. Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Amazingly, it's as relevant then as it was now. That's kind of almost shocking. But it's been rearranged. Some illustrations have been updated. References have been updated because those people who were born probably after 1995 wouldn't get most of the illustrations that were preached in 2005. So let's talk about food. We're going to talk about food. Did you figure out that that was the theme? Okay, food, water, river, you know, all these kind of food kind of themes running throughout the hymns, the lessons, the intro, the prayers, so forth. The food, you know, make that connection there too. So food is not a miraculous event for us, correct? Would most of you agree to that? That we go to the store, we buy it, we bring it home, I fix it. Gail and I, it's a co-op thing that we fix food together. God doesn't really intervene in any miraculous way with our food. We know some farmer grew it someplace, probably most likely a migrant in some factory prepared it in some way. Other people package it. Truckers shipped it, very likely a migrant also drove the truck. We see him. We go to the grocery store. We buy it. We go. We check out. And the name of your favorite clerk is Michael. Okay, good. And then we go home and we fix it. That's real 21st century thinking, right? Right? Give me some nods here. Okay. Do you realize that that's also first century thinking? Just think, men, I don't know about women, but men have been thinking this way for 2,000 years. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, look at the story. Get them some food. Well, send them to town. Send them to the grocery store. Send them to the restaurant. Okay, just place yourself there. They've been watching miracles all day long. Not like one or two or three, but maybe dozens, possibly hundreds. Some of them might have even been at Canaan with the water into wine, that food thing. A clue of what is coming in this miracle is that for us in this century, this is amazing. This is the only miracle in all four Gospels. The only one. That should tell us something that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John must have thought this was important as they heard all the stories that the disciples had to share. In the other Gospels, we find out a lot more information. This is one of those rare opportunities that we have this kind of picture from Matthew, then Mark and John and Luke, they all expand on it. So we have like almost a movie of the day, like almost hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, second by second. So we know that the disciples had recently returned from their first evangelistic outreach, and at least a couple of them had cast out demons, that God had given them the power to cast out devils. And now he says, you go get them food. Send them to the restaurant. Send them to the grocery store. What's harder to do here? You know, 6-7 here. Cast out demons? Maybe come up with some food miraculously. I'm not sure. This point was missed by the disciples, so we'll miss it too, and we'll leave it to the end. We are challenged in this miracle to see the food. Did you see the food? We know the miracle. We know the feeding. But do you see the food? Do you see the food? And as Christians, people of God, I think it's important for us to move from just seeing a miracle to seeing the food. Look at the food. In a very short time, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. What part of that is relevant to the sermon? Give us this day our daily bread. In that short prayer, that's the only phrase that's about right here, right now. You all prepared for lunch? Know what you're going to eat? Yeah. We often speak those words so quickly and so rapidly, we sometimes forget what's behind those few words. You see the farmer working this morning. I had a gentleman in my first congregation in Buffalo, Oklahoma, out in the middle of nowhere, certainly God's country, because nobody else would have it. He was a wheat farmer. They start harvesting wheat in northwest Oklahoma June 15th. Always, June 15th. Okay, it might be the 14th. It might be the 16th. But June 15th is when they start harvesting. How many farmers, ranchers, harvesters do you think were in church on June 18th? Zero. They were out harvesting, except for Mr. Yock, Elmer Yock. He was in church every Sunday during harvest. So after 2 years, I finally asked him, I said, all the other ranchers, farmers, harvesters, I don't see them from middle of June until the end of July. What makes you come to church? So story time here, by way of Elmer Yock. So at that time, mid-90s, he is 80-ish, mid to late 70s. And he said, well, when I was growing up, one Sunday morning, it had rained all week. It had been dry on Saturday, and my father had determined we could harvest the wheat, we better harvest the wheat on Sunday. He said, we had always gone to church. So this is how old this is. We hitched up the horses, and we headed out to the field. We did not even get out of the yard before one of the harnesses broke. So we had to turn back and fix the harness. He says, we got it all ready, and we started heading out the field. He says, we passed the fence line into the field, and one of the drawbars broke. They call it a half tree, I think, a half tree between the horses. So we had to turn around, go back to the barn, get a new half tree, hook up the horse, and go back out the field. We went through the yard, went through the fence, got in the field, put down the cutter, choo, like this, and the cutter almost exploded into pieces. So we had to get the horses, get the cutter, go back to the barn. He said, my dad was fixing the cutter, and by now it's afternoon. Mom's back, his mother is back from church. She comes out. And she can see that nothing has been cut in the field. She comes out to the barn and she says, Elmer says, she's with her hands on her hip, and she says, what is going on here? And he remembers the words of his father, should have gone to church. Should have gone to church. Yeah. Miracles do happen. And also the opposite happened for your daily food. It was cutting wheat. How do you see about the line workers in the various canning factories and food factories? How many of you have worked in a food factory of any kind? Just one, two, only three of us? You're missing something. You really are. So I worked in a food factory during summers while going to college. I had a job that, because I was college, it was like doing a lot of other chores, nothing on the line. But occasionally, infrequently, they would have shortage on the line. So they'd ask me to work on the line. That happened just about once. So I'm doing this line work. I don't know what the motion was exactly, but I know I had to wear gloves. And after about an hour and a half, all of a sudden, choop! Spam! Spam! Thankfully, the machine just took my glove. Instantly, I got a deep appreciation for all those older ladies who worked the line, who I thought was the most boring job on the face of the earth. But somehow they could keep concentration, they could keep focus that some college boy couldn't. It was miraculous that I did not lose or damage my right hand. Miracle of God. All to bring us food. Do we see the miracles of God in the food preparation? All those semis that we passed on the drivers, keeping attention to deliver the food to your table. Do you know any semi truck drivers? I've known a few over my years. Yeah. Oh, do they have horror stories about us car drivers? Oh my. Oh, what was that? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes. We all need to talk to them so we get better driving around them. Whether you're behind them, in front of them, or beside them, you need to know they cannot see you. They cannot see you. Most of us probably never think or remember the name of the people who work in the grocery store. I do, because recently the Safeway store here in town, I don't know how many of you shop locally, probably not too many. The Safeway store recently put up a fence, and now they have gates. And I made the mistake recently of I stepped through the fence, went like this, and I wanted something out of my car, and I turned around. I thought, oh, geez, I'm going to get shot.
Yeah.
That happened the last month or two, 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, well, it's because it's Fort Lupton, you know. So I went to the King Supers at 136th and Quebec, 136th and Quebec, and I have an orientation where that is, like right in the rich part of Thornton. Yeah, went there last Sunday, walked in the door. There sits a guard with a gun. 136th in Quebec and a gun. Can you imagine being in a position where you're having to steal food from a grocery store? The jewelry store I get, the hardware store I get. But a guy with a gun at the grocery store? And give us this day our daily bread. And there are some people that are not going to get this daily bread.
Wow.
When I mentioned the title of Leftovers of the sermon, how many of you were instantly repulsed? Okay, we're all familiar. I think most of us are familiar with Amazon. You know, one star, five star. How many of you are one star when it comes to leftovers? Any one stars like, don't even think about offering it to me? Oh, come on, there's got to be one. No? How about two star, like, I'll only eat particular leftovers? Okay, a few of those. Three, I'm somewhat picky. I'll generally eat leftovers, but there's some places I simply don't go. Yeah, okay. There's four, I'll eat any leftovers. Really? I was not expecting that. I was not expecting. I'm sure we have no fives. No. You got to put your hands down because I'm going to define fives. Okay. Just wait. Here it comes. Even I have a hard time describing this because when I observed it in one of my roommates, I had to leave the dorm. I had to leave my room. I couldn't take it. He was eating three-day-old pizza cold out of the refrigerator.
Whoa, whoa.
I guess I am a four. Woo-hoo. I guess, give us this day our daily food. And this was not the 2005 sermon because this happened in 2013 in Africa. A friend of mine who was born and raised in Rwanda kept bugging me about coming home with him to Rwanda, Africa, East Africa. And finally I gave in and I said, I'll only go if I can stay a week in the village. If I can stay a week in a rural village. The first morning I woke up there and I came out of the house, there were like 25 to 30, 40 native people, Rwandans, you know, black, standing there. And they all like jumped when I came out the door. And I asked my guide, who are these people? And he said, they're unbelievers. And I said, unbelievers? They don't believe in Jesus? So he spoke the Queen's English, and he wasn't really good with the translation from his native tongue to English. So we had to talk about it. These are people who did not believe that a white person was in their village. That white people drove past on the road, would stop occasionally, take some pictures, get back in their car, and then zoom down the road. You infrequently saw cars on the road by the village. This is hard. This is hard. He translated everything for me, everything. Whatever, how everybody was speaking, he was constantly translating. So I got to know the conversation in the village. So the first, I had arrived there late after supper. So I think it was already dark. The next morning we get up. They don't do breakfast because breakfast deprives your body of water and stuff. So they don't eat breakfast in Africa. Noon comes and they just have like a mush type thing for noon, but they do eat their big meal at night. And because I'm special, because I'm the first white person in this village ever, they ask all the kind of elders, the wise, the smart men in the village to come to supper with me. And we're all sitting there, and one of them is going to do the prayer. He starts the prayer, and my translator starts translating it. And the prayer is this: thank you, Lord, for life this day. We thank you, Lord, for the food in front of us, for the rain that you sent, for the seed that you gave us, for the sunshine that continues. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to harvest the food we are about to eat. And it just got deeper and deeper and deeper until after about 4 or 5 minutes, I just told him, you can quit translating and give us this day our daily food. And we sit down at our table. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. And give us this day our daily bread. You go get them food. You go get them food. God has been talking about leftovers for a long time. Psalm 23, my cup overflows. While we often associate those words with his grace, we can see his grace also in the very food we put in our mouth. How many of us have leftovers? All the time. It's also leftovers of time. Americans call it me time. Did Jesus take me time with his leftover time? No, he gave it to us. Us Americans have extra income. We call it discretionary income. It's leftover income. What did Jesus do with his discretionary leftover income? He gave it to us in his blood. He bought us our freedom, us and all mankind. Test time. See if you were really listening. In how many of the Gospels is this miracle recorded? 4. The only miracle recorded in all 4. It's that important. I'd like to suggest that there's a connection between this miracle, and this is in the middle of the story that I said I was going to leave until the end. From our today's reading from Matthew 14. They brought him the food, and what did he do? He looked up to heaven and blessed the food. He broke the loaves apart and gave them to the disciples. Matthew 26, verse 26. The night before he was crucified. He looked up to heaven and blessed the food. He broke the loaves apart, gave them to the disciples. Did a light go on for anybody? This miracle, while it's feeding 5,000 people, and it's surely a miracle, is it somehow connected to what we're about ready to do here? That the same words, the same action that he used for mere bread that we eat today at noon, uses the same words to institute this meal, this supper. Now, about leftovers. It was hard for me to find that there were any leftovers here until I thought, oh, we often take the leftovers from the table and we put them in the refrigerator. Oh, the leftovers are the people who are leaving. When you receive the love, the grace, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, he gives it to you here and you walk away with it. You will not have an opportunity to give others the best leftovers they have ever experienced. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food that you give us each and every morning, noon, and night. We thank you especially, Lord, for the food we are about ready to receive, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that nourishes us not just for today or until the next meal, but for eternity. Be with us all the days of our life. In Christ's name, God's people say, Amen. Let's see. Please rise.